And Modal's subcommittee will now come to order. Margarita, please call the roll.
Chair McFarland?
Here.
Vice Chair Baker?
Here.
Ranking Member Hinson?
Here.
Representatives Andrade?
Here.
Arrington?
Here.
Bankson?
Here.
Burfield?
Here.
Edmonds?
Present.
Escamani?
Here.
Esposito?
Here.
Harris?
Here.
Lopez?
Here.
Mello? Michael?
Here.
Nixon? Porras?
Here.
Smith?
Here.
Stark?
Here.
We have quorum, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Margarita. Let the record show that a quorum is present. And members, before we begin, please remember to silence all electronic devices. Welcome back, everyone. It is such an honor to have all of us here on the first interim committee week of the Florida House of Representatives of the 2024 legislative session. Welcome back, everyone. We have a couple new faces on the committee I'd like to introduce. We have Representative Burfield, who's joining us from Pinellas County. She'll be a great addition to our merry band. And we also have Representative Baker, who will be our vice chair this session from Duval. It's so interesting, the new members that we have, both from areas that are high population, significant transportation concerns, and I love that their voice is represented here on this subcommittee. We had a great last session. We named a couple roads. We talked about drones and new delivery services. We created a couple programs that'll help keep kids safe in a school setting. We paved the way for autonomous vehicles.
Yes.
And we expanded Florida's move over law. Public service announcement, you now have to move over on the highway for any disabled vehicle that's on the shoulder, or slow down if there's a car in the lane, but you have to move over for every disabled vehicle. We did that. That was you guys. Who knows what this session will hold? I can't wait to see what ideas you all bring as we move bills through this committee, through amendments, or whether you sponsor them yourselves based off ideas that we started last session. I'll preview a little of what I think we'll see. I think we're going to spend some time looking at planning and bureaucracy and what structures we have in place as a state to ensure the health of our infrastructure going forward into the future. I'm certain we will talk about next generation technology, whether it's electric vehicles, autonomous trucks, advanced air mobility, eVTOL, vertiports. We might talk about towing again. You never know. And it's my hope that we focus on driver and pedestrian safety again this session. With that, let's start our work today. Today we are going to hear from the Florida Transportation Commission. They're an oversight body of the Florida Department of Transportation, and our presenter today is Mr. Ralph Yoder, who's the executive director of the FTC. And I think we have assistant director. Yep, we have assistant director Sonia Morris with us as well. I've asked Mr. Yoder to come and explain to all of us a little bit more about what the FTC does, how the commission operates as an oversight body. So he'll walk us through a little overview. I'd like to keep it conversational, so please feel free to ask questions as they come to you. And we'll start the session with a great discussion. Mr. Yoder, you're recognized to begin when you're ready.
Thank you, Chair McFarland, and to the committee and staff, thank you for the opportunity to present to you today. Meeting with Chair McFarland earlier, she informed me that this is the last committee meeting of the day and of this interim committee week. So thank you for being the excellent students that you are and staying all the way to the end. My name is Ralph Yoder, and I am the Executive Director of the Florida Transportation Commission. And it is an honor and privilege for me to be able to be here to share this information with you today. I hope it's informative, and I hope we have some great conversations through the process. During our time together today, I will share with you the background and history of the Florida Transportation Commission, about what we do and what it means to the Florida legislature, as well as to the members of the public who use Florida's renowned transportation network. The responsibilities and oversight and policy recommendations by the Commission are intended to provide leadership on major transportation issues, increase the efficiency and effectiveness of the Department's operations, ensure that the Department carries out its mission utilizing responsible fiscal practices, and ultimately to ensure public accountability for the stewardship of the funding that is entrusted to the Department. So a little bit of background. From a timeline standpoint, the Commission was created by the Florida Legislature in 1987 to provide accountability and oversight of the Florida Department of Transportation. This was in response to problematic financial issues that were engulfing the Department at that time. In 1990, some external performance metrics were developed by the Commission at the direction of the Florida Legislature. The metrics were created to address the financial issues that occurred in the late 1980s and were developed in a way that would limit and prevent a recurrence of fiscal instability. In 2007, that accountability and oversight authority was expanded to include the state's expressway and tolling authorities, as well as certain transit authorities. Importantly, though our office is physically located in the Department's center office building here in Tallahassee, the Commission is not a component of the Department. In fact, the Commission is prohibited from involvement in the day-to-day operation of the DOT, such as consultant and contractor selection, specific projects, as well as personnel matters, and et cetera. The Commission strives to ensure a collaborative relationship with the Department. As Executive Director, I interact regularly with DOT's executive leadership, including Secretary Jared Perdue and Chief of Staff Lita Kelly. In addition to myself, the Commission employs three staff members to assist with carrying out the functions and duties of the FTC. Our staff are assigned to the Department for administrative purposes only. And as you can see on this slide here, we're connected to the Department with a dotted line. A little bit more about the Commission and the members that make up the Commission. The Commission consists of 9 members appointed by the Governor and confirmed by the Senate. Each Commissioner serves a 4-year term and may be reappointed by the Governor. Per statute, each Commissioner must possess business experience in the private sector. And so in essence, you could consider the Commission acts and serves sort of like a Board of Directors to the Florida DOT in their role from a private sector in liaison with a governmental agency. These are our current commissioners, and they come from very diverse backgrounds. We have business leaders, developers, current and former business CEOs. We have a former congressional chief of staff as one of our commissioners. Several of our commissioners, including our chairman and vice chair, hold the distinction as professional engineers, and our chairman is also a licensed surveyor. So they bring a wealth of business knowledge as well as technical skills in their role as commissioners and in the way that they provide guidance to what we do as staff and as well as guidance to the department in their interaction with the DOT secretary as well as the district secretaries. I am most fortunate to work for our distinguished commissioners as together we serve the citizens of the state of Florida. Since its inception, the Commission has been a very strong voice at the state and federal level in advocating for increased funding to meet the growing infrastructure and mobility needs. Florida's population has continued to grow and is forecast to exceed 24 million in 2030. And with this growth, ongoing advocacy is critically important to meeting the transportation needs of our residents as well as our visitors. Statutorily, the commissioners are to geographically represent all regions of the state. Although not a statutory requirement, Historical precedent has dictated that the appointment of one commissioner from each of the department's seven districts, and then two at-large member appointments. Currently, we have two vacancies on the board. So let's talk a little bit about our statutory responsibilities and what we as a commission were tasked with when we were formed in 1987. When we were created, we were tasked with specific responsibilities that are housed in Florida Statutes 20.23. One of our roles, and one that seems to get quite a bit of attention, is that of conducting the search and interviews for the Secretary of the Department and the recommendation of three names to the governor for appointment by the governor. We are required to hold a minimum of four meetings annually, although we may meet more often. Many times we meet here in Tallahassee, but we also meet in various locations around the state at the discretion of the chair. Other responsibilities that I will detail later in the presentation include the annual review of the department's tentative work program, the quarterly and annual review of the department's performance and production, and then an annual review of the performance of specific tolling and transit agencies here in the state. Chair, you can stop anytime if you have any questions along the way, okay? These are our guiding principles. These foundational principles guide our interaction with the department, other agencies, as well as our industry partners. Our evaluation and reporting must be meaningful not only to the agencies, but also to the governor, to the legislature, and most importantly, to the public. Our tentative work program review. Each year, just prior to the legislative session, the commission reviews the department's five-year work program to ensure that it is developed in accordance with Florida statutes, federal and state transportation policies, and is financially sound as well as deliverable. This year's $13.6 billion work program was the largest ever. The totality of the five-year work program the commission reviewed and reported to Governor DeSantis and legislative leadership totaled $64.2 billion, also the largest in history. Additionally, Governor DeSantis requested and the legislature approved an infusion of an additional $4 billion from general revenue to fund the Moving Florida Forward initiative. A recent macroeconomic analysis commissioned by the department found that for every dollar invested in transportation, the state should expect approximately a $4 return on investment. Consequently, this record level of funding and historic investment into the state's infrastructure is anticipated to result in at least $256 billion in economic activity over the next 5 years. The Commission's role of monitoring and accountability is ever more critical given this significant investment, and this ensures that the public is aware that the Department's continued record of delivery and sound practices is measured as well as reported. And what you see on the screen here are the nine areas that we review with regards to the tentative work program on an annual basis. Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Yoder, on the identification of statewide or regional projects, are there examples of projects that the commission has recommended that either the department or the legislature shall consider? Like, what are some examples of those projects?
So in the past, we have honed in, especially on the CIS network, okay, with regards to the significant regional importance of those projects that were part of the CIS network, and that is part of our review of the tentative work program, identifying those projects in the tentative work program when we do our review.
So you said you review the tentative work program that's proffered to you. This leads me, this gray bullet of identification of statewide or regional projects, that makes me feel as though you would identify projects like on top of or separate what is being offered to you as in the work program. Am I misinterpreting that?
So maybe the term identification is not necessarily appropriate term there. I shouldn't say appropriate, but in part of our review, we look at the regional significance of the projects that are included in the tentative work program to ensure that they meet the needs of the regions that are requesting those projects through the MPO process.
Were any of the projects on Moving Florida Forward, were any of those ones that were identified by the commission?
I wouldn't say not necessarily identified, but we were aware of the development of those projects and knew that they were a priority for the local areas, or the regional areas that were needing those investments, and fully supported the development of the and recommendation of those projects. Thank
you. Representative Porras, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Director, for this presentation. Regarding the review for compliance with approved local government comprehensive plans, who else checks projects like that and for the local comprehensive plans? Like, I know, for example, DEO reviews the MPO's project list for comprehensive compliance as well.
So not only are they reviewed by the local MPOs, and in our review process, we collaborate with DEO, which I guess now will be the Department of Commerce, in that process. Our review process is in conjunction with what DEO does in reviewing the projects for compliance with the comprehensive plans.
You're recognized for a follow-up, Rep. Porras.
Just as a follow-up, what is the purpose, I guess, of both agencies conducting that? I mean, in my opinion, wouldn't you consider that duplicative? In that sense?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. With regards to that, part of our statutory responsibility is to ensure that DEO has evaluated these projects for compliance with the local comprehensive plans.
Representative Lopez, you're recognized in questions.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I thank you, Director, for this good presentation. I'm curious about what objections and requests by metropolitan planning organizations, what does that mean? Like, in other words, is that like a complaint or a whistleblower function that either an MPO or a local government can make when they think their district secretary isn't listening to their own, priorities?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Lopez, with regards to the objections and request, there are times that the MPOs evaluate what is being presented and may have some different ideas and request and object to that, and the department is required to respond to that. And in our role, we ensure that response has been conducted and transmitted back to the MPO.
You recognize for a follow-up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So could you give me an example of what that would look like, a complaint that was an objection or a request that was made by an MPO, and I mean, what would that look like? I'm just curious.
So I don't know off the top of my
head. You're recognized, yep.
Representative Lopez, I don't know off the top of my head. I don't have an example right in front of me, but I can surely send you some of that information out of our annual report from our previous tentative work program review. Our upcoming is January the 8th, and you're more than welcome to come and be a part of that. But I will make sure that we follow up with you and share with you so you can see some of what those types of objections may be. And typically, there's not an awful lot that are reported, okay?
And Representative Hinson, you've got a question. You're recognized.
Thank you. How are you?
Very good, Representative.
Thank you so much for the presentation. you mentioned the increased workload from the Moving Florida Forward. How are you dealing with this workload, and are you hiring more staff or otherwise identifying resources to help you meet that need?
You're recognized, Director.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Henson, I do know that we as the commission are engaged with DOT in their workforce development, because the legislature funded an additional funding for workforce development, and so we are working closely and collaboratively with the department as they continue to ramp up their workforce and their workforce development to address the growing demand for construction work.
Oh, for a follow-up, you're recognized.
I do know that finding staff is difficult these days. I did recommend to the secretary, I don't know if it's any follow-through, at one of the re-entry resource fairs I held in my district, you know where I'm going with this, would there be any possibilities for ex-cons, bottom line, to get work?
You're recognized, Director.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Henson, that's a very worthy idea. It's something that I will share with my commissioners for consideration and for them to consider as we work collaboratively with the department to make sure that is followed up on, okay? Thank you.
Representative Escamani, you're recognized.
Thank you so much, Chair. Thank you so much for being here. On the financial soundness, I'm curious, how does that define, and what happens if you do think that there's something, whether it's, you know, illegal use of funds or over a budget, like what steps do you take when it comes to financial soundness of a project?
You recognize, Mr. Yoder.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So Representative Escamani, with regards to financial soundness, there are specific measures that we have to look at to ensure that the department doesn't fall below a certain threshold. Since I've been executive director for 4 years, that has never happened. And in recent history, it hasn't happened. The department, and I'll talk about this in a second, the department, because of our work and working with them since the early 90s when we instituted the performance measures, the department imposed upon themselves internal performance measures that they work to ensure that they meet what it is that we expect, but they're doing that on an ongoing basis, and they monitor their financial soundness internally. And so the department has a long history of ensuring that the development of their tentative work program is fundable and that their financial measures are considered and kept within the limits of what are expected. And I'll be glad to share some information with you. Okay?
You're recognized for a follow-up.
Thank you so much. Thanks for that response. I'm just thinking back to before your time in recent history. I think there was litigation revolving around the former executive director, and there was some sort of whistleblower case, and it was over what was a claim, allegation, or I'm not exactly sure of all the evidence, around misuse of dollars, I believe, by FDOT. Maybe you can speak more to that. So what role do you guys play as whistleblowers that you see in your leadership when it comes to, you know, whether it's an MPO or the state agency? Do you see yourself as whistleblowers? Or maybe you can kind of speak more to that past and how it affects the work that you do today.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Escamani. So we're in an oversight role. It's not necessarily a whistleblower role. In our review and analysis of how the department funds their projects, and I'm aware of what happened previously, but in my time as executive director and in our analysis, we haven't seen mismanagement or misuse of the funds. If there were, it would show up in our reports, and it is something that we would, as part of our oversight and accountability role, that is incumbent upon us to make sure that that is of public knowledge. And so that is something that we look for every time we do our reviews of the department's tentative work program review, as well as their performance and production.
Follow-up, Chair?
Yes.
Thank you. I appreciate the emphasis on the oversight piece. If you do find something that's amiss, right, and you just noted that you'll notify the public, what is statutorily required when it comes to reporting? Is it something you just notify that specific agency of, or is there also a website you have to post that type of information? Like, how is the public notified if there is some sort of discrepancy like that?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair McFarland. So, Representative Escamani, so with regards to notification, we do that through our public hearings as an agency, because we are a state agency. So we do that through our public hearings, and then that would also be included in our report that is posted on our website. It is transmitted to the governor, to legislative leadership, and to the chairs of the committees, respective committees, which Chair McFarland would receive that. And so they would be notified they being the governor, the legislative leadership, and the chairs, as well as then the public through our public hearings, as well as posting our reports on the website.
Representative Harris, I think I missed your hand earlier. Do you still have a question? You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You brought up public hearings. I know I get a lot of feedback about transportation projects from my constituents. I'm sure that we all do. Do you get any feedback during these public hearings from the public?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Harris, we do get periodically feedback. Many times that the feedback is more from other agencies than from the public. We do public notices for our hearings, and there it's out there available. But many times the feedback that we do get is from other agencies and not so much from the public per se. Occasionally we do, though.
Thank you.
All right, members, let's let Mr. Yoder advance a couple slides. We'll hold questions just for a couple minutes here.
Thank you, and I enjoyed that feedback with y'all. Next is our annual performance and production review. The commission provides ongoing accountability and oversight of the department to assure that established production and financial goals are met. This is performed on a quarterly basis with the culmination of an annual review and report to the governor and legislative leadership. During this process, commission staff gather data and information from the department. We evaluate the department's performance in these seven areas that you see on the screen. On a periodic basis, the objectives for these measures are reviewed and adjusted if necessary to ensure that the measures are reflective of the current business practices leading to efficient and cost-effective strategies by the department. Several years ago, we as staff worked through and developed this innovative one-page scorecard to convey the department's annual performance easily and quickly. One can just look at this one page and see how they measure up against the seven different areas and the 15 measures that we measure them on. This scorecard is incorporated into our annual report as well as posted on the commission's website at ftc.state.fl.us. We also produce a similar scorecard that is presented to the similar quarterly scorecard that is presented to the commissioners once the quarterly review is completed.
Mr. Yoder, if you could back one slide.
Yes.
Do you measure traffic? Measure congestion?
No, not really. Now, but I shouldn't say no, not really. It's not a measure. In our report, there are, in addition to these measures that we measure them on, there are some informational items, and congestion is one of the items that we do look at as an informational item that informs not only the public, but it also informs the commissioners as they're evaluating recommendations to the department of how to address some of these things.
Which report might we find congestion numbers?
That is in our performance and production review, this report, and I will be glad to forward that to you.
Thank you. Representative Arrington, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Director. My question is in regards on this scorecard, the red metric, especially number one there, the safety one, which looks like it's well over target. What happens when something becomes red or, you know, stands out as being red?
Oh, sorry, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Arrington, so in the development of this scorecard, we have it so that if the department doesn't meet the measure, it automatically turns red when we populate that cell. And so with regards to this first one is safety, and this is the reduction of the number of fatalities. And so the measure is for them to reduce whatever it was the previous year, okay? So if they don't meet, if it's higher than the previous year, they don't meet that measure. So in our statutory requirements, if the department doesn't meet that, we have to look at it And if there are certain recommendations that we have to recommend to the department to improve, we as a body can make those recommendations to the department.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Then my follow-up on that, is there any safety actions or recommendations that you all have submitted or are going to submit to the legislature or the governor's office to help get FDOT back on track and target and get that number not red?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. So, Representative Arrington, so with regards to specific actions, what we do, we have worked closely with the department, working with them on their, like, wrong-way driver detection, as well as, you know, their Target Zero initiative to try to move that number to zero. In terms of specific actions, this is one that is very, very challenging. And so I don't know that there are specific recommendations with regards to safety, but we are very supportive of what the department is doing through their work program as well as their safety initiatives in addressing safety along our roadways here in the state.
Mr. Yoder, are there consequences? So you're the oversight body for DOT and our tolling authority and our transit authority. Are there consequences for red metrics, particularly if you see them year over year?
Thank you, Madam Chair. So with regards to consequences, there are no financial consequences. In fact, it's interesting that you asked that question. Back in the late 80s, early 90s, when these performance metrics were proposed and were developed, there was a financial, the proposal was that if the department didn't meet these, they had a financial penalty. Through the work of that time, the discussion was, if you're going to penalize them financially for this and they need those financial resources to meet that need, you're really making the matter worse. So with regards to this, it's more awareness for the department as to how they perform. And you need to take into context that this is the entirety of the department boiled down to one page, okay? And so there are times, like let's just take, for instance, number 7 that's read, that's on construction contracts let as the number of planned. There are times that the department doesn't meet a measure, and they have very legitimate business reasons why they made decisions that led to that measure not being met. And part of this is that collaboration and ongoing dialogue between us, the commission, and the commissioners and DOT leadership to ensure that if they don't meet this, there is a legitimate reason and rationale for that measure to not be met. Does that make sense?
Yeah, thank you for that. It's a good subjectivity almost. Shifting gears a little bit, but staying on the topic of accountability or consequences. So the commission nominates or sends up 3 names for secretary. Does the commission also perform like a CEO audit or performance reviews at the secretary?
To my knowledge, no. That has, because the secretary reports to the governor and not to the commission. But that is an interesting question that you ask.
Secretary Perdue is not here today. Representative Hinson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a question. With so many projects coming up, are you ramping up your efforts to meet your oversight obligations? Because clearly it's a concern.
Go ahead, Mr. Yoder.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll cover that in a few slides, Representative Hinson. Okay. But to answer your question, yes, it is an ongoing process. So with regards to this performance and production review, we do this on a quarterly basis. So at the end of every quarter, We gather data and information from the department, do our analysis, and then report that out. And that is what is rolled up into what you see here for our annual scorecard. But that's just one page in our full report, okay? So it is an ongoing process. We are, for the previous fiscal year that ended June 30th, we are about 90% complete with our review, and we will be presenting that on November the 9th at 9 a.m., and you're more than welcome to join us.
Representative Escamani, you're recognized.
Thank you so much. Along those same lines of just oversight, so I was reading through the Transportation Authority Monitoring Oversight Report for fiscal year 2021, which I think just came out. And obviously, I'm in Orlando, so Lynx is, you know, our transit system. So I was looking at page 27 around Central Florida Regional Transportation Authority Lynx summary of performance measures for fiscal year 2021. And only 4 out of, I think it's 12, different performance metrics were met. And so on the same, you know, kind of line of thought, do you provide remedial steps to take? Do you provide, like, I don't know, a probationary period? Like, when locals are not hitting performance metrics, what happens and what role do you play in maybe helping make sure the next report, you know, there's improvements versus the status quo?
You recognize.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So Representative Escamani, with regards to the local agencies who are locally controlled, we as a commission have very limited ability to, other than our oversight and accountability, the public awareness part of what we do with regards to these agencies. Part of this is we expect the head of the organization, the CEO or executive director, to appear at our meetings and to present. And part of that is that public accountability, not only to the general public, but also to the commissioners, and answer some of those tough questions. The other thing that we do periodically, and we are due for this with our transit agencies, we recently did it with our tolling agencies about a year and a half ago, is to review these performance metrics. Again, I said earlier that with regards to the department, we want to make sure that we review those on a regular basis so that they are reflective of current business practices. The measures that are measured by Lynx could be, I'm going to use the word stale, in terms of freshness and how business models change over time. And so that is going to be some of our next push with our transit agencies to review and update and say, hey, are we measuring the right things? Because if and I'm not saying that we need to curve the grades, so to speak, but at some point you have to ask yourself, if this is, are we measuring the right things that reflect what it is that they're doing as a business practice? And so we will work collaboratively with those local agencies to ensure that that's what we're doing.
Thank you for that. Are these 12 metric systems, when was the last time they were updated, or have they stayed the same over time? And do you have that longitudinal data that we can look at for our locals as well?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, Representative Escamani, the last time those measures were updated were 2016. Okay. And yes, we do have historic data that we can share, absolutely. And so we, as I said, those measures there are due for review and consideration for update if mm-hmm. it's necessary to update. Mm-hmm. You don't throw it out just because it's old, but you have to review it and look to see, is it relevant?
Right. Follow-up, Chair? Thank you. 4 out of 12, is that average? I mean, do you have any good, like, a median when you compare? Obviously, all the regions are a little bit different, but the goals are going to be similar. The metrics are, I assume, similar. So where would you rank that? And does it, you know, ring alarm bells, for example, if a local has, you know, less than 50% hitting these marks more than X number of years, like, you know, do you have any red flag moments, I guess, when you're looking at these metrics?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, Representative Escamani, when we look at it, we look at the performance of that year. We do look at some historical perspective. red flag moments sounds like alarm bells. Again, this goes back to local control and local policies and procedures that may differ from agency to agency. And again, so this goes back to the local agency so that they can see how they're performing based on the responsibility that we have been given to do that oversight. I think, in my opinion, part of that role then falls back to that local board to say, hey, this is what we are being told. Mm. How are we going to implement changes? Or do we recommend changes to the Florida Transportation Commission, again, that are more reflective of how we're doing business? So it's that collaboration that gives the local board some handles to grab onto to say, hey, to the staff that are running the agency, we need to look at this, or we need to have some conversations to say, hey, we need to update these mm-hmm. as well. So it's that collaboration.
Okay. And one quick follow-up, Chair, if I may. Thank you. So I appreciate that point, because obviously when you see local board is also made up of local elected officials. So hypothetically, they would be aware of the metrics, because if the agency head is there and that gets relayed into a board meeting setting, then hopefully those municipality leaders would be aware. But is there ever a moment where, you know, you pop into a local board meeting just to make sure they're aware, or, you know, you present the findings to a local board, or is it more the hierarchical structure is that you have this report, you have your own public hearings, agency head presents there, and the assumption is that gets carried back down to home, or is there any follow-up to make sure that it is?
You're recognized, Mr. Yoder.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, Representative Escamani, your assumption is correct in that we do our part, and it's relayed to the leadership, and they have that presentation. Now, I do take your line of questioning as something that is something we as staff can implement and look at going and attending some of those meetings and being sort of a fly on the wall, if you will, to understand how they're doing that locally. Part of our work is to look at, to ensure that they are following their own procedures, and so that is something that we will continue to do. Okay, thank you.
All right, Representative Smith, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Director. I think this probably piggybacks my question a little bit off of what the Chair had mentioned, and that the structure of the commission is not watchdog, but an oversight is a little bit unique of agencies and the way you recommend for a secretary position to be filled. I think that's working. But internal to the 9 members, what's being done now to fill those 2 vacancies that you have, just seeing the workload that you have coming up and the amount of money that Florida's investing and your oversight, looks like 9 would be better than 7. How are you going to get those vacancies filled?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Smith, that's a great question in terms of that part of our role. I know that my chair, Ron House, has been working in conjunction with the governor's staff to actively seek and identify members that could be appointed from the District 3 area, which is North Florida here, and then District 4 in the Fort Lauderdale area. So that is an ongoing process, and that collaboration and work from the chairman to the governor's staff, who's responsible for appointments, to find and identify, because you are right, 9 is better than 7 with regards to the mindset of what is expected of our board to have that many different viewpoints and business leaders engaged in that process.
Representative Hinson, did you have another question? You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, as you talk, things come up. I've been monitoring a project locally that's had 2 delays already. I guess my question is there a list of projects that you're monitoring, maybe, for completion or progress to completion or timelines or something? And if not, your commission, who does that?
You're recognized, Mr. Yoder.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So Representative Henson, one of the hallmarks of what we do is we, as I stated earlier, we are prohibited from getting engaged project by project, okay? We look at it holistically as the entirety of the agency. However, part of this performance and production review process, we do have a measure with regards to cost and time of the contracts that the department has out there on the street, okay? So every construction contract has a component of cost and time that goes with it. And so in our review process, the department reports to us projects that have gone over cost and time. And in our report, we report the projects that constitute over 50% of the cost and time that was allotted for that time period. So we can provide that to you, Representative Henson. I don't know if those two projects may be in that list, but we are not allowed to go project by project in that review process, if you will.
Let's go with Vice Chair Baker making her debut performance.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Mr. Yoder, for being here today. Earlier in the slide presentation, you showed us a map of the 7 DOT districts across the state. In your opinion, is the current structure appropriate in representing our growing population in Florida? Should there be more, fewer? Should different districts be drawn?
You're recognized, Mr. Yoder.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Baker, that is something that I, as the executive director, I would rely on my commissioners to advise and give guidance with, and that could be some of our policy recommendations to the department as well as to the legislature and the governor as to the structural makeup of the department. Change is difficult and challenging, and so I'm going to reserve my opinion. You asked my opinion. I'm going to reserve my opinion, but I will relay this to the chair, as well as to the commission as a whole, as that may be something that we could and should consider going forward.
Vice Chair, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, to the best of your knowledge, when was the last time it was reviewed? Or how long have they been in place as they currently are?
You're recognized, Mr. Yoder.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Baker, I do not know the answer to that. I will be glad to work with the department and ask for that information to be relayed to your office because I do not know the answer to that question.
Thank you. Probably a long time.
But I'll just interject for a moment. I think... I allow the question that I know is for your commissioners because I think it's emblematic of maybe a recommendation that we would love to see come from the commission. I think when we all hear oversight, if it's not the FTC that's looking at changing the district boundary lines, who is going to come up with those suggestions? So I'll just highlight that point. For my esteemed vice chair. And I think we have a question from Representative Burfield, also debut performance.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So you execute a performance evaluation. So we start with that. And that performance, that evaluation is based on the performance. So it's the execution. You evaluate the production, meaning the creation of a product based on a certain set of conditions or criteria. What I'm curious about is, do you look at those conditions, for example, methodology? So one of the consistent complaints that I have heard over a number of years is the calculation that is used to determine the number of cars and people that are on the roads. And that has significantly increased over the last several years. So I'm curious to know if that is ever a conversation that you have. Is that a part of the consideration when you look at evaluating the performance and the production? Or is it you're just looking that A is what has to be completed, they've met the criteria, and that is it?
You're recognized, Mr. Yoder.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Burfield,
sorry.
Methodology is the methodology of the how of projects are developed and the how of determination of where and when and the development of projects is not part of our purview. Your assessment is pretty correct in that we look at what the department says they're going to do, which is the tentative work program, and we measure against that because that is, I'm going to say, their contract with the legislature, contract with the public, that this is what they say they're going to do, and we measure on that. The department, in conjunction with their collaboration with the MPOs and local agencies and counties that aren't part of an MPO region, they're the ones that work collectively with that methodology to make those determinations of what goes in. It is a bottom-up approach to building the tentative work program. We evaluate the tentative work program based on those nine areas. Is it deliverable? Is it fundable? Are they following the laws, state laws and federal laws, transportation policies? And then we measure against that, not so much against the methodology of how that is developed. Does that make sense?
For a follow-up, you're recognized.
Thank you. It does. So I guess my question is, have you ever had, or has the commission ever given any consideration or discussion around the concerns that arise from that? Or do you just avoid that?
You're recognized, Mr. Yoder.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm not quite sure I understand your question.
I'm sorry, go ahead. Madam Chair, thank you. So if you're evaluating the programs and the products, the question becomes at some point in time that product doesn't actually meet the need. So why are you producing the product, in my mind? Have you all ever discussed with the department whether or not there needs to be a reevaluation or assessment of that? How they're creating that methodology?
Go ahead, Mr. Yoder.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think it's a healthy discussion and something that I think would be of value for the commission to look at and at least have those conversations with the department. And consider one of our minor roles is policy recommendation, and there may be something in there that we can look at and say, hey, we need to take a different stab at this. Now, granted, the pace of growth of population and the level of funding that has been available are competing and sometimes exhausting in terms of being able to meet those needs, which I think is a reason why the Moving Florida Forward initiative and the projects that were selected and funded there are an attempt to jumpstart and address some of these, I'm going to say, unmet needs and needs that would have taken under normal processes 10 to 15 to 20 years to address. Like my own, with my children whenever they were young and they would want something. There's always more wants than there is available funds to do what they want, and it's a similar situation that we find ourselves in.
So what I'm hearing is you do believe you all would have the authority to make a policy recommendation that should be evaluated? if you felt it was necessary.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think it's within the realm and scope of an expectation of what we could do. I take this discussion and to heart, and will surely take it to the commissioners as a recommendation for them to consider. I'm staff, and I do what I'm directed, but I will work with them to make them aware of this concern. How about that?
Fair enough.
Okay.
Representative Lopez, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. So as a follow-up to that, I heard what Representative Burfield said in terms of things that might be being produced that, you know, are not needed anymore. How about the things that need to be produced that are not on it? And I'll give you an example. So if you look at DOT's work plan for the year, you'll see at the end, there's called this emerging technologies. I've had a real issue in my district around the use of what we call micromobility devices. And it appears from all the discussions I've had, at least with our district secretary or deputy secretary, has been the department is neutral on it. Now, if I were you, I'd come down to my district and I would see all kinds of micromobility devices, and there's at least six different types on the roads, on the sidewalks, creating havoc. And yet the department is neutral on this. So to Representative Burfield's point, I would think that at some juncture, because it's a safety issue, that you might want to tell your commission, look, there has been a movement to get people out of cars and into different types of transportation vehicles, whether they're micromobility or otherwise. So it makes sense for me to think that if you're oversight, you're not just checking off, you know, this is a wonderful report, but what about looking at where they're not doing what we think they should be doing?
You recognize, Mr. Director.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Lopez, your point is well taken. Again, our oversight is limited. But again, your point is well taken, and it's something that I think would be of great interest and consideration by the commissioners. So, thank you.
Members, Representative Andrade, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Chair. Mr. Yoder, about how much input, if any, does the Department of Transportation have in y'all's operating budget as the commission?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So because we are connected to the department through a dotted line, we are connected to the department for administrative purposes only. Our budget flows through the executive function of the department. With regards to our budget, we work together for what the needs are for our agency, our small agency, all four of us. And so they're aware of our needs. We work closely with them to make sure that the needs of our commission are met financially and budgetarily.
For follow-up, you're recognized.
In the formation or generation of trust fund dollars, do y'all do any collaborating with like OPB on different ideas on how to fund future road budgets, how to maintain that, and kind of the shifting collection of the gas tax?
You recognize, Mr. Yoder.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, Representative Andrade, in the past, there was discussion about that. In the recent history since I've been executive director, we have not had those discussions. With the growth of population in the state, that horizon of the longevity of the gas tax has seemed to continue to move further out, and so the urgency of that is not there as of right now.
Representative Esposito, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for being here today. So last session, we passed HB 425, which directed Hillsborough Pasco and Pinellas MPOs to do a feasibility study to see if consolidation was a good idea. Based on your structure, would you advise that consolidation of MPOs is a good idea?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So Representative Esposito, the MPOs are separate from the commission, and we don't have any oversight role there. So that is a local issue that I don't think falls under the purview of the Transportation Commission.
Follow-up, Chair. You recognize? Thank you. So with the way that your commissioners are structured in those regional entities, and the DOT makes regional decisions based on transportation, would you recommend that MPOs also be something that is looked at regionally, or would you take that to your commission as something to consider?
You recognize, Mr. Yoder?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative, I know that the MPO process has been looked at time and time again, and I know the last legislative session, there is a requirement for the MPOAC to report to us, the commission, on an annual basis with regards to the MPOs, their plans in and how they are in conjunction with the Florida Transportation Plan and more or less in compliance with. We're still working through that process because it's a brand new requirement for the MPOAC. And so as it relates to the MPOs, again, that is a federally mandated process that is driven locally, and I don't think that that is something that we, the commission, should necessarily get involved with. But again, if the commissioners want to take that on, then that is their, as the commissioners, in their business mindset role, that is something that they could if they wanted to.
Representative Bankson has a question, but Mr. Yoder, I realize we've paused you on this slide for quite a bit of time. I think you've got one or two left.
Two or three, yes.
Representative Bankson, okay, great, I'll hold his question. Mr. Yoder, you are recognized to pick up your slides again.
The dialogue has been great, so thank y'all, okay? As I shared earlier in the presentation, starting in 2007, the commission was assigned the task of accountability and oversight over specific expressway tolling and transit authorities across the state. These authorities are specified in Florida statute, and the authorities you see listed here are currently the ones that we have oversight over. The infrastructure investments made by our transportation partners have led to innovative and creative solutions to address the needs of their local communities. These are examples of the annual reports that we produce. These annual reports are the culmination of many months of gathering data and information from from specific to the statutory responsibilities that we have been assigned. I am proud of the work of our staff who work tirelessly to ensure not only the accuracy of the reports, but that our collaborations with the department and our partner entities accomplish the purposes of number one, increasing efficiency and effectiveness. Number two, ensuring responsible fiscal practices are applied. And number three, ensuring public accountability. And before I take questions, to finish this out, Madam Chair, I'd like to close with this. Our state has tremendous opportunities. We must make smart investments, taking into consideration the potential impact to our amazing natural resources and environment, while still attracting new business opportunities throughout our state. Our ports are bustling with activity from cruises and cargo. Our airports are breaking passenger records. Our Space Coast is thriving with activity, and new rail travel options are available. When you look at our waterways, our downtown developments, our suburbs, and even the rural areas of our state, you see the benefit of the investment that the state has made into our transportation infrastructure. And with that, I close and am open for more questions.
You're being a great sport, Mr. Yoder. Representative Bankson, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to follow up on the nomination process for the districts that are still open, I'm assuming this, but is part of the qualification that they be from that district so they really advocate well, or is it just based upon their professional experience?
You're recognized, Mr. Yoder.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Bankson, so your assumption is correct that they need to reside. Statutorily, we are required to have geographic representation of the entire state. And so, as I said earlier, the historical precedent was there would be one appointee from each of the seven districts and then two at large. Currently, the two at large seats are filled. And so there's a vacancy at District 3 and District 4. Okay, good question.
Members, any further questions? Representative Lopez, you're recognized.
I have just two quick questions. One, what is the total budget for the commission?
You recognize, Mr. Yoder.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So our total, Representative Lopez, our total budget is less than $700,000.
Go ahead, you recognize.
And just real quick, on the slide on monitoring of the tolling and transit authorities, does all of the revenue from both the tolling and transit authorities come back to the state, or do they stay in the regions? If you know that, just curious.
Mr. Yoder, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, Representative Lopez, the revenue from the tolling and transit authorities are locally held and locally controlled and locally managed by that local agency.
Ranking Member Henson, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you. Thank you so much. You've given us a lot of information and food for thought. Based on the data you collect for your reports, do you get to make recommendations? For instance, I-75 is becoming a parking lot. Do you make recommendations for either relieving that congestion or getting cars off the road? I heard someone say, I said it all last year. What happens with your reports, or do they get, about to make a joke, shelved?
Mr. Yoder, I think you have addressed that the commission doesn't get involved in a single project, but I think Ranking Member Hinson's question about, you know, an area of concern or an area of congestion, would that be the type of project that you maybe make a course correction for the department? You recognize, Mr. Yoder.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, Representative Hinson, our reports pave the way. you teed me up for that, okay? One of the beauties of how we operate as a commission, given that there are nine members, theoretically one from each district, the member from that area hears a lot of those issues and frustrations, and they, through their role, become a conduit to the district secretary. And so that's the beauty of sort of how we operate from the commissioners become sort of that unofficial liaison to help the districts and the DOT secretary and leadership to understand the local frustrations and see it from a different perspective. And so I think there is extreme value in what we bring to the table with regards to your question. Okay.
Representative Escamani, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you. Last question for me anyways. I know you mentioned the two vacancies on the commission, and I think I saw in the presentation that the Senate approves appointments, correct? But what's the timeline to get those two filled, out of curiosity?
You're recognized, Mr. Yoder.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, Representative Escamani, we don't appoint those, and we don't necessarily make recommendations. There's the collaboration between the chair and the governor's staff to consider applicants that come into the governor's appointment office for that. I will be happy to have two more members sooner rather than later, but that is an ongoing process, and it fluctuates from year to year or from time to time whenever current members have other responsibilities or decide to go do something else or decide to just say, you know, I mean, we've had some members that have resigned due to health reasons in previous years. And so that's just part of the nature and the process of appointed boards that we have to work with the board that we have and know that there are times that appointments can and will be made. And we see appointments on a weekly basis from the governor's office.
Representative Nixon, do you have a follow-up?
Yeah, if I may.
Let's stay on the train of thought. That's perfect.
Thank you, Chairwoman. I know it's my last question, but I'm curious, if you're evaluating a project the commissioner would be involved with, do they have to recuse themselves, or how does that work, or does that ever happen?
You're recognized, Executive
Madam Director. Chair. So, Representative Escamani, so in terms of evaluating a project that a member has been involved with, we don't evaluate project by project. We evaluate the entirety of the work program. Just because a commissioner may be an unofficial conduit of information to the district secretary doesn't mean that they're involved in that project. And there's really, because we're not involved on a project by project basis, there's not a need for recusal by a commission member.
Yep. Representative Nixon, you're recognized for a question.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Are the commission seats, I'm just curious, are they paid positions?
You recognize Mr. Yoder.
Madam Chair, thank you. Representative Nixon, that's a great question, and no, they are volunteers. They do get paid per diem for their travel time, but they are volunteers that serve selflessly for the state of Florida.
Representative Andrade, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Chair. Mr. Yoder, this is a question, and as a first-year legislator, I had the bright idea of, filing something on it. It never passed, obviously, but I pulled it out of my bill. But what's the identified benefit of the role of the commission in the submission of a slate of candidates for appointment to the governor for the secretary position? Like, what's the value add there?
You recognize Mr. Yoder.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Andrade, great question, and over the years, that has been value in that you see the breadth of knowledge and information that the commissioners have at their disposal and their background and expertise, and the value, if I were governor, the value that would be to me is these folks have been vetted by a board of business professionals who can stand behind and vouch for the qualifications of these three candidates. It really stacks the deck that you can't hardly go wrong with one of the three. And so I think if you're looking for one value add, I think that would be it.
Follow up.
You recognize Mr.
Is the governor bound to make a selection from that slate of three?
Recognize Mr. Yoder.
Thank you, Madam Chair. To my knowledge, Representative Andrade, that is the way that the statute is lined up for the governor to choose from those three. I'm not going to stand here and surmise of what would happen otherwise, but that is the way the process is currently set up.
And I... Chair, if I may. No, I apologize. And I didn't mean to say, slate of three comes up and somebody else not in that slate could be selected. Can the governor just reject all three and say, give me three new ones?
You recognize Mr. Yoder?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Andrade, I could envision that could be a purview of the governor's stance to say, go back to the well and start again. Any of us in our roles from an HR standpoint can look at the candidates and say we're going to re-advertise in any kind of business that we might be in. And so I could see that could be a possibility.
Representative Edmonds, you recognize for a question.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. Mr. Yoder, thank you for your presentation. It's okay. My voice echoes. It's okay. Last session, we passed a bill that would allow FDOT to convey lands to local municipalities for them to build affordable housing. Are you aware if FDOT has done that process of actually conveying lands to municipalities for affordable housing?
You recognize
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Edmund, I am not aware of that.
Okay.
That doesn't mean that it hasn't taken place.
Okay.
Currently, that is not part of our review process. But by and large, I would think that at some point in our reporting that we would be made aware of that. But I am not aware of what has transpired since that bill was signed into law.
Thank you, Mr. Yoder. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Michaels, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My question is, you said earlier the budget, your budget is $700,000. How long has it been at that amount? Is that consistently $700,000? When was the last time that's changed?
You're recognized, Director.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative, it's since I've been Executive Director for 4 years, it's been around that same amount. We are a very lean operation with 4 employees. That budget also covers travel expenses for the commissioners and expenses for our office operations. So I don't have the history prior to me, but I know in my 4 years, that's about what it's been.
Great job, members. Members, we've had an excellent discussion here today. I hope this sets the tone for the rest of session. I think I heard 7 bill ideas. I look forward to seeing those bills being filed soon, and we can continue the discussion. What comes to mind throughout both Mr. Yoder's presentation and our questions here today is the difference between health and wellness, right? The doctor can tell you that your blood pressure is good, your BMI is good, you don't have a fever, so you're healthy based on those numbers, but you're maybe not well. You sleep 1 hour a night, you feel like crap, and you can't focus on work. I think that's a really interesting distinction for us to focus on this session as we think about accountability, as we think about our role as the legislature. Let's keep up this line of thinking. Let's keep up this level of attention and excellence. Mr. Yoder, thank you for being our guinea pig for our first committee. You did a fantastic job, and thank you for being patient with all of our many questions. Members, there's no further work before us today, so I'm going to go ahead and conclude our committee agenda and see no further business. Representative Edmund, move me rise.